My name is Bart Isley, and I want to welcome you to Scrimmage Plays, the panel. This is the first panel and a reformatting of the Scrimmage Play podcast as we wait for full sports to come back around. And we've got some big-time guests here. We got Ryan Yeaman, longtime Scrimmage Play reporter, writer, and editor, been around forever. We got Damon Doman, longtime CBS 19 guy, and now he's running with us. Now we're excited. We're springing this on him a little bit, but he's running with us. He's in the pod with us. He's seen a lot.
He's been adopted.
Yeah, we brought him in. He's rolling with us now. So
I brought my own mic.
So very, very exciting to have him here. And this is a chance for us to talk about the last 10 years that we've seen across the sports world. We've already got some of these in the can that are other sports, but this group, we're going to focus on football, and we're going to get really in depth, really in the weeds about it. And in this episode, this first one, we're going to break down the top five power backs in the last 10 years. So this is runs class of 2010 to class of 2020. All those guys are eligible. Ton of different running backs that have really, come up big. And, this is just power backs. We're going to dive into complete backs at some point, may even get to speed backs, who knows down the road. But we're going to start with our top five power backs. And, it's an interesting group, and they come from a lot of different systems. And we got to start. It's going to end up being six guys, really, when it comes down to it, because these two guys, they came as a package when they were in high school. They come as a package now, right here on the list. Number five power back over the last decade, Orange County's dual threat, Trey Smith and D'Angelo Hunt. These guys always came together, and they came together for a reason, because it worked. It was good stuff. Damon, let's start with you. These were guys that you brought up one of these names when we were kind of piecing through this. You talked about Hunt. It was your idea to put Hunt and Smith together as a package. Makes sense based on what went on when they were in high school and played together for a long time. How special were those two guys?
Yeah, you think back to where Orange County was at that time as a program, and then those two guys sort of came on the scene. And a lot of times you hear running backs tandem described as thunder and lightning. They were like thunder and more thunder. They just did it a little differently. And Orange County was always in the game with those two. They just ate up clock, ground out yards. I remember one night, it was a Monday night rain game, delay and makeup game. I think they were playing Albemarle at Monticello, and they beat Albemarle that night when both programs were kind of on the ascent. And that's when you knew that these two guys were going to keep Orange County in every game. And Trey Smith just straight up the gut, just grinding out yards. D'Angelo Hunt maybe a little more around the corner off the edge, but the two of them were a package deal. They got it done, and they helped Orange County kind of reemerge halfway through the decade and get back into playoff contention on an annual basis.
Ryan, you got to see a lot of these guys. Trey's a guy that you brought up immediately when we started talking about this power running back. What was it that made Trey such a relentless sort of hammer when it came to the ground game?
I mean, his commitment, the direction that he ran in was just every game. I mean, he just didn't have to shake you out of your shoes because he knows that he can run you over. These power backs, you're looking for like the desire for contact in a lot of ways. I think that's what separates them from your sort of, all around backs or, truly edge guys. And I think Trey was, he wanted to go out there and get his face mask into somebody else's and just run you over. He clearly thrived. It's sort of, it's what drove him. But yeah, it's also having these two guys was a huge contrast in style for Orange County. They had been struggling, after their sort of transition to Commonwealth District, and then they came back to the GAD, and it was tough sledding there for a little bit. But they were a team with the ball around the field, a lot of spread stuff. And then when Hunt and Smith come around, it's, all right, let's get into a little more of a pro set and just grind teams down. And then 2015, that first year, they're sort of featured as dueling threats. The out of district schedule, you're like, okay, we've got something going here. And then put together against Powhatan, I think it was that year, was the sort of coming out party for them as a running back duo.
you know, when you look at Trey Smith, 1,500 yards for his career, 761 and 10 TDs as a junior, another big year as a senior. They were also both guys who were big impact on defense, too, when you had Hunt sort of attacking from the edge. I believe Trey was a little more in the middle. I mean, they were just all around incredible football players. And Smith, as we know, went on to this ridiculous power hitting career at Glenville State in baseball, just mashing it. So that guy's power, no matter what sport he's playing. And I think that they're just a tremendous addition to the list. I mean, Hunt, like you said, maybe a little more shake than Smith, but when Hunt hit you, you knew. So Trey Smith and D'Angelo Hunt, those guys are number five power running back together again, and as they were in high school. And number four is going to be an interesting one. He's a guy who I think of as the quintessential Goochland running back, which is going to be a power guy because that's big-time power football and that wing tee, and it's David Dyer. Huge career that David Dyer had down there. And David, your main memory of him is pretty specific.
Yeah, our Goochland coverage was kind of limited compared to teams closer here to Charlottesville. We'd get down there once in a while, or we'd rely on the Richmond stations, but it always seemed like they'd always include at least one or two Dyer touchdowns where he was just boom, just plowing guys over from a couple of yards out and getting into the end zone. It always, every drive seemed to end in the same fashion, and that was with him getting, what did he have, 26 touchdowns, did you say, his senior year? Is that what it was? Yeah,
26
and
total.
You can understand why he couldn't be stopped at the goal line. He was just massive, just like a bulldozer plowing into the end zone. So it never failed. Every Goochland highlight we ran included some sort of David Dyer getting into the end zone touchdown.
Yeah, I thought he was just tremendous. But Ryan has a particular a particular affinity for David Dyer's brand of football and Dyer himself.
Yeah, I mean, so when he shows up, Goochland in 2000, and state title run there, runners up. 2012, sort of his coming out party is a more featured back. They win a state title, and then a good playoff run in 2013, his senior year when he put up those big numbers. But that playoff run in 2012, that was just otherworldly stuff. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of touchdowns in there, but most of it is these 8-yard runs where he makes contact after the second yard, and it's just somebody draped over his back, and he's just pulling them forward. I mean, he was a Clydesdale. He was one of those guys who was like, I'm not going to get to the end zone faster than you are, but it's not going to matter because I will take you with me. Just an unbelievably physical dude and impossible to bring down. Like he had the center of gravity of like a black hole. It's just, I mean, it was otherworldly stuff for those 3 years.
Dyer was an all-state guy. He was a first-team all-region guy in what was a really tough region. They played back then with just a murderer's row of a region, and they were always in it, and they were always in it because they always seemed to have a guy like Dyer, or you know, a combination of guys that could get that piece done. But Dyer really was that quintessential B back, that guy who could dive through the A gap, dive through the holes right in between the guards and centers, and it forced middle linebackers to account for, you know, what Dyer was doing. And get in there and kind of plug the middle, and that opened up things on the edges, you know, for a variety of different runners that they had that were awfully quick on the edges. And you know, it seems like Goochland just prints out running backs. I mean, they just copy and paste, and it's a whole new group, and they've always done it. That wing tee is just so effective at developing guys and giving you multiple looks. But when you have a guy like Dyer who's going to get four, whether you want him to or not, right up the middle, it really changes things on the edge, and it made a really special group and a special few years that they had with David Dyer. And that takes us to another guy who was part of one of the most successful stretches in a program's history, and that's our number three guy. And it's not often you're going to see on a power back list a quarterback, and we got one right here, Malik Bell from Louisa County. A quarterback maybe nominally, but he really developed as a passer down the road. But we all know that what Malik Bell got done on the ground in tandem with Joe Whalen was a huge reason for Louisa's success.
I mean this as a compliment, absolutely. But there were times when Malik Bell ran really hard, but there were also times when watching him from the sideline, it seemed like everybody around him was running at full speed, and he was running at half speed but he was still kind of outrunning everybody else, and he was the biggest guy in that foot race. It was just, it just seemed almost effortless the way he would get away from guys sometimes. He was a power back, but he had a little bit more speed than a lot of the guys on this list, I feel like, and he just was able to get away. And that, to me, was always what impressed me the most about Malik Bell, was how just he's a power back's body, and he could run like a power back, but he could get away from you when he wanted to and when he needed to. And he made it look so effortless at times that it was pretty cool to watch.
I think he just – special numbers that the guy put up over the years, 3,691 rushing yards, another 1,600-plus passing. That's like 5,347 yards of total offense. That's 18th all-time in Central Virginia. His rushing tally alone is good for 22nd all-time. And he accounted for 72 touchdowns in his career. And that's really like a two-year stretch.
I mean, well, the way he split the backfield early on in his career with Joe Whalen, I mean, he's a running back there because they have different options at quarterback. And then it's that, you know, sort of 2016 and 2017 are his big years. Obviously, 2017, the big run to the state final and where he's featured as, you know, a true quarterback there, you know, obviously leaning on the run there. But I agree with Damon that the thing that was impressive is where his contact was made. I mean, yeah, he would cut through some linemen and so forth, but he'd usually be like way downfield, and then some poor defensive back thinks that he's going to, you know, make a leg tackle or something, and Malik's just going to smash down on his head and put him in the ground. There's so many of his best runs. He had a lot of long runs for touchdowns where, you know, some poor kid thinks that he can slow him down, and he's going to find out the hard way what those churning legs do.
So anytime teams tried to stack up against Job, Malik was going to make him pay for that. And he could every single time, whether he's going the other way or whether he's turning and going back behind that same group. They did so many different things with him that he was just an incredibly unique threat. And like you said, when he got to the second level, I mean, it was over for anybody that was back there. Tremendous career from Malik Bell. And, you know, definitely deserving of the number three spot on this list. Number two, we're going to stay out at Louisa. And it's, you know, like we said, you can't have one of these lists without a Goochland guy. It's not a surprise to have two Louisa guys on the list too. And that's Andre Mealy, Louisa County, class of 2011, huge senior year, 1,713 yards and 25 touchdowns as a senior. Missed that junior year with an elbow injury. That was supposed to be kind of a breakout year for him at running back. But Andre Mealy was as strong, just pure strength, just as strong a guy as I've seen. And just a tremendous – I don't know. Like, if there were weightlifting competitions, I'd have a hard time putting anybody but Mealy up. I mean, he just was a strong, beastly kid. And on top of that, incredibly intelligent guy who really knew his stuff. And you put those two things together, that's a really good recipe for a power back. Damon, you're nodding me. You know, you got a chance to see Mealy. You know what he kind of brought to the table.
Well, I remember because his senior year, 2011, his senior season was my first season here in Charlottesville. And I remember getting here and trying to figure out what some of the storylines were. And one of those storylines, as you mentioned, was what was he going to be able to do coming off of that injury the year before? Is he healthy? What's he going to be able to do? How's he going to look? And I didn't know what to expect because I hadn't seen him, obviously. And he certainly lived up to kind of the billing, so to speak. He proved pretty quickly that he was healthy. And like you said, he was the male student athlete of the year, CBS 19's male student athlete of the year my first year too. I remember he was not a man of many words. He let his running do the talking, and he just ran so aggressively, so hard. But he absolutely, like I said, that storyline going into the season was, what was he going to look like coming off of that injury? And he dispelled any kind of concerns about that really quickly. And he lived up to billing that everyone kind of had for him when I first got here.
Yeah, the first game for them is in that season, 2011, sorry, is – it's right after the earthquake, and they're playing Orange County, and their field has been vandalized. And yeah, I was there. I mean, Mealy runs in and gets that first touchdown, and he just thunders through really early. And they put a huge number on Orange that year. They took that personally, and Mealy ran with such like purpose, but there was a meanness and an anger in the way that he ran that was just terrifying. Like, you could tell nobody's like, I don't want to tackle that guy. And you know, he was there in that season for big moments, huge game against Monticello, and Monticello was really, really good that year. It was Louisa, Monticello, and Powhatan in 2011. Those were the three big boys. And yeah, I mean, he just, there was something to the way he ran. He was also sort of an effortless runner too. I don't know if it was just his build to it, but he just had this ability to get to that speed really quickly and keep it. And so it looked like he wasn't motoring along, but he was. And there was just, I mean, I don't know if there was an easy way to tackle him, high, low, anything. Like, you were just kind of out of luck.
Mealy was, he was so rugged. And like I said, his strength was just off the charts with him. He was an animal in the weight room, just did a tremendous job of kind of building himself over the years. And like I said, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, had offers at Cornell. You know, this is a guy who, you know, he was such a good student and such a smart guy. And it showed. I mean, his understanding of the game was pretty incredible. He rarely made the wrong cut. And that's not all instinctual. A lot of that is intelligence. And I think that he really, you know, I think when you think about a big back, you think about a bruiser, you usually think about a guy who's just smashing into the hole. Like, this guy was, he was very much a technician. He was very, very smart with how he used that strength. And I think that that's a big reason why Louisa just leaned on him for a long time. I mean, he was the guy that they were kind of hoping could lift that program up and take things to another level. And in moments, he certainly did. There's a few guys that we want to talk about. Guys who are just off the list, guys that we recognize a lot of their power, a lot of their strength, and we'll kind of run through them. We'll have one of us will weigh in on each of them. Damon, why don't you start? Rick Weaver at Covenant. He's a guy who we talked about a lot and is maybe a guy who could easily be on this list and had a tremendous career over there. But obviously some injuries kind of slowed that down.
Yeah, that was always the thing with Rick Weaver, was it just never felt like he was fully healthy. And if he was, who knows what kind of numbers he could put up, because we saw what he could do when he wasn't at 100%. So if that kid was able to, I remember, wasn't he supposed to miss an entire year and came back halfway through? Was it his sophomore year or his junior year? And just came back halfway through when he was supposed to miss the entire year and was just plowing guys over from that point forward. So I think that's the thing that was always the question with him, was injuries. And then just what would he have done playing 4 years of an 11-on-11 football? What could he have done in those circumstances as well? But yeah, I don't think you can make a best power backs list without at least acknowledging Rick Weaver and what he was able to do at Covenant.
This one too is a guy who it's way back, it's early in this period that we're talking about, but a tremendous impact type guy. Madison County's Logan Terrell was, we all know what he did in basketball, and he was like mini Charles Barkley in basketball. He pulled down all kinds of rebounds, he scored all kinds of points. But in football, Logan Terrell was not to be trifled with either. A tremendous power back, so strong, and a really big impact player for Madison in what was a really tough region, especially back then. Ryan, I know you're a big fan of what Logan did over his career.
Yeah, I mean, he had three really good years there at Madison. Really early on, I got to see him his sophomore year at Monroe. I think it was at Madison, but Monroe was in town, and that was my first time ever seeing him. Like, okay, that's a problem. You know, just he had all the physical ability that you need, plus I mean, he was very fast, and sort of people underrated him, you know, in, I think in both sports, basketball and football, you know, his quickness, his first couple steps, but man, was he strong. I mean, just an absolute moose. And he had a great three-year run there. Madison football was very good with him as the featured back. They won a lot of football games and had some decent seedings because of that in the playoffs. Unfortunately, they ran into some absolute beasts. You know, Clark County was playing at their highest level at that time. You know, Alta Vista was really good. I think that was his senior year. And, you know, and he played through injuries in that senior year, too. That was the other thing. But, yeah, fantastic runner and a really charismatic power runner, too. You know, Andre Mealy's not smiling when he's running or running over people. But Logan Terrell is. He's having fun in a different way. Like, he's showcasing. That's what made Mealy so intimidating, was the other thing. He's a man on a mission. Whereas Terrell, there's a little more playfulness in it, I think. that takes away. Maybe he's having too much fun. But great running back and great career over there in Madison County.
Speaking of guys who have fun, and we got to go back right back to Ryan on this, Andre Parker, Fork Union, is another guy who's just off the list here, maybe in part because
yes.
that fourth year, that fourth year at Fork Union, or the last year he was at Fork Union, he really focused on linebacker, got a chance to play at Kent State. But Andre Parker is a guy who was always having fun. And most of the time he was having fun while he was putting a foot in somebody's chest as he ran right over.
Yeah, the situation sort of worked out well for Fork Union that year. And they win a state title that year. Richie Dyer comes on for them as sort of an electric running back. So they can afford to, let Andre Parker play more at linebacker, and he doesn't get a lot of toast. But, any short yarded situation, guess what's happening? He's coming in there. And yeah, that guy, he was a personality. I mean, I don't know that we've had our photo shoots. I don't know that we've seen somebody try and make people laugh more than that guy. It's just, there was a lot of energy in him.
Loved Andre Parker. The other guy that is kind of in this group is 1 year, and it was a really, really good year, and that's Monticello's Isaac Robinson. I think he qualifies as a power back. We talked about it before. He had to play fullback the year before. He had a pretty nice college career, too, at Tusculum. I mean, Isaac Robinson, he's a guy who, for that 1 year, he was the guy in the area, it felt like, that you had to look at, that was just playing off the well, had 2,000 yards that year. Damon, Isaac Robinson's the guy who's early in your time here in Charlottesville.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he qualified when I brought him up, if he was a true power back or maybe fell under the more complete back category. But yeah, like Mealy, his senior year was my first year here, and his numbers were even better than I remembered. He ran for more than 2,000 yards, which I knew he had a good year. I'd forgotten that it was that good of a year. That Monticello offense, they had him, they had Jaleel Mosley at quarterback, they had Patterson at receiver. They had some game breakers. Ryan had said earlier, Monticello was one of those three teams in contention for the JD back in 2011, and those three guys were a big reason why. But Robinson I remember him breaking a long touchdown run out at Western my first year here, and I was like, wow, that guy's legit. He could go. And he, like, 2,000 yards in a season, in a high school season, you don't need that very often. And he, again, I don't know if he qualifies as a true power back, but he ran hard every time he got the football. And he was a guy who popped into my head when we started having this discussion. And I think, yeah, he absolutely deserves a mention on this list.
He played fullback before he
that's true too. Yeah,
getting featured, so that gives him a little extra street cred.
Power back street cred.
Yeah, yeah. If you play fullback, you get a little bit more love.
Isaac Robinson, you play a little fullback. Well, that takes us to it. Look, this is gonna be another very professional segue. Takes us to a guy who truly was a fullback for his entire career, and he's our physical therapy at ACAC lock of the list. The guy who everyone agreed, there was really no debate, that Sabias Foley from Charlottesville was going to be on the list. A guy who made everybody smile, everybody enjoyed watching his career, except when you were lined up against him on a Friday night. Sabias Foley is the B-back for Charlottesville in that devastating option. And Foley running downhill took that thing to another level. Just a really, really special running back. And Damon, you can get us started, man. Just tell us, what you remember about Sabias's career. It wasn't very long ago, but a tremendous and special one.
I just remember guys bouncing off him. That's what he'd pick up speed and get downhill, and defenders would just be rolling off of him trying to tackle him. It was like he was wearing some sort of like force. It was like a video game. Remember the old video games where the stiff arm and guys would just bounce right off you? That was. That was Sabias. I think about, do you guys remember, maybe the best compliment you can pay him is he played a huge role in the last time Louisa County lost a JD game, us a regular season football game, that crazy night at CHS, what was it, 2016 regular season finale?
Yeah.
It was like 35-35 after one quarter, going back to Malik Bell, guys just going in either direction, but he was just unstoppable that night, from what I remember, against Louisa, the best team in the district. So, and that was kind of the story of his career. And there'd be 11 guys in the box trying to stop him, and half the time he'd still be getting 8, 10, 12 yards. Everybody knew it was coming, but you still couldn't stop him. So he, when the subject power back came up, I think all three of us probably, Sabias was the first one we thought of. I think that's a fair guess, right?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, 3,500 career yards, 57 touchdowns. He did the vast majority of that right in between the guards, not even between the tackles, man. We're talking like in between the guards. Like, he got it right up the gut. He had some good offensive linemen in front of him, but a lot of times Sabias was carrying two or three guys in the first 2 yards and just making it move. And like you said, they stacked the box, but it really didn't matter very much. You know, it three-time All-JD running back, went on to Fork Union, now at Towson. Sabias Foley, man, he just – Ryan, what, like, my first impression of him was at a scrimmage, and it was – I was like, all right, man, this guy is ridiculous. Like, this doesn't even seem fair. And the way that he was powering it as a freshman was just – he just looked like a different type guy.
Yeah, and I think that's what stands out to you. So when we would do our sort of preseason outlooks and put together our first look at football for the year, you go out to Charlottesville, and then you see a kid like Sabias, and oh man, he's getting pretty mean in practice. It's like, that is a physical runner. And you expect to, like, okay, so who are the new kids and up and comers on your team? And Coach Sherry will go through, and you're expecting him to say, well, we got this transfer, you know, he's a senior from, you know, no, he's a freshman. Oh, okay. And then you just realize, like, we're going to get 4 years of a kid that runs like that. I hope he stays healthy. And then on top of that, as you guys mentioned, everybody's going to throw all 11 guys they have at him. And there's just a so what-ness to Sabias's running style. It's like, okay, yeah, he's going to be coming straight downhill at you. And let's just try and gaffle him. Oh, that doesn't work. I mean, you can scheme any way you want for him. He's a fire hydrant. It's just unbelievably fun to watch. And yeah, really, really one of those guys that, as everybody said before, what you're putting together a power running back list, you're like, oh yeah, Sabias. So we'll, like, that one immediately jumps out to you. And I think he defines the list really well. I mean, he just got that je ne sais quoi, which is usually the sound that a runner makes when they're going through somebody, but he's got that for a power running back.
It was a scrimmage. I first saw him, and he comes around the left, and he goes horizontal into the end zone. After he's like trucked two dudes, he goes diving into the end zone and like sticks the ball out. And you're like, I mean, like, guys that big just aren't supposed to move like Sabias did. And once it got churning and he got downfield, there was just nowhere to miss. And he could do the big hitter. You know, we talked about Malik Bell having a lot of those long runs. Sabias had a lot of those long runs too. It wasn't all just 5 yards in a cloud of dust. It was a lot of big runs where he would break, and he had some shiftiness and some moves, and just a really, really special guy. As close as I think we've gotten to a Jerome Bettis type guy in this area over the last 10 years. That's always who he reminded me of. He was wide and big and strong, and he just kept rolling. And to me, he's the best one. And it really wasn't much of a debate. These other guys are awfully good.
Like Ryan said, and he did it for 4 years too. From his freshman year, he was the same guy and got better every year and got stronger, which is kind of scary because, like Ryan said, when he was a freshman, you thought he was a sophomore, junior, senior, and he just kept getting better.
Yeah. Tremendous, tremendous run for Sabias Foley. And, an easy one. And so that wraps up our first panel. That's 5 power backs. And some extras. We're making the rules, so we're going to put in who we want to put in. We'll expand the list as we need, but top 5 power running backs over the last 10 years. That's the panel. And I really appreciate you guys coming along with us, and I appreciate you guys' time helping us work this out. So we'll be back with another installment coming up soon, and we'll keep running through these until we get sports back full time in the high school level. We need it. We're ready for it. Let's get it moving.